Hey, Life Architects, it's Adam Carroll on today's SoloCast, a deep dive into tenet number two in the Build a Bigger Life blueprint. It's all about seeing yourself as the architect of your life. I spent last week with the brothers of Delta Sigma Pi, an international business fraternity, at their Grand Chapter Congress. And what this is a week-long celebration of the fraternity, of brotherhood, and a chance to connect with people from all over the country. Many of the brothers in attendance were students, and I found myself paying close attention to some of the things they had to say when it came to their future. They were saying things like, well, it depends on what the market is like, and I just hope they call back. They made references to their oppressive student loans and to the fact that other people they know are still unemployed after graduating last year. When I asked them about strategies they were using to stand out, ways they were taking it to the next level on the job search, these sorts of things, I got a lot of blank stares. And most of them seem to be saying, I don't even know what you're asking. So the idea of being the architect of your life means that the life you want to live is the one you've designed for yourself. And what I find is that too many people take a prescribed path, but not necessarily the one that most closely matches what it is they want in life. The best analogy would be living in a home that is supposedly your dream home, but is designed by someone that doesn't know the first thing about you. Some people I've found believe they have no control over those sorts of things and instead ride the wave of whatever happens in hopes that one day the tide will turn in their favor. For some it does, and for some it doesn't. And what separates the two, I've found, is the kind of language they use to describe their situations. The students I listened to, again, made comments like, well, it depends on what the market is like, and I just hope they call back. Nothing about what they were doing or how they were going to change. It was all about something that was completely and totally outside their control. It's amazing what happens when you start to pay attention to the language that other people use to describe their circumstances. Just listen over the next couple of days and count the number of times you hear, well, I would, but I can't because my boss, or yeah, we'd like to, but our kids aren't ready, or my uncle tried that one time and failed miserably, so we've learned from his lesson. When I started listening to the reasons people had and have for not living the life they most imagined, they were largely outside of their quote-unquote control. But mostly, they just weren't seeing themselves as the architect, doing whatever necessary to build the life they fantasized about. In Jack Canfield's The Success Principles, his number one success principle is take 100% responsibility. Jack maintains that everything that happens in our life is ours to take responsibility for. If we don't, we're basically like ships tossed about on the open sea with no rudders, no sails, and no hopes of ever finding land. In Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, he opened people's eyes to a new way of working, whether you are a corporate soldier or a self-employed renegade. Thousands of comments on his blogs appeared from people who began asking if they could work from home at least a couple days a week, and it changing their life for the better. He introduced people to the quality life of the new rich, those who realized how to make their time more valuable, all while working less. To continuously see yourself as the architect of your life, it's necessary to do a couple of things. Number one, isolate and eliminate language that you use to describe your situation, again, quote unquote, out of your control. Realize that everything you do in life is a choice. Whether you know it or not, your subconscious mind comes up with reasons you can't or shouldn't do something bold, brave, and new on a continual basis. It's part of your natural defense mechanism to keep things status quo. And because your subconscious mind exists to do two things well, to protect the mind and body and to answer complex questions efficiently, it does both simultaneously and sometimes to the detriment of us living bigger lives. As an example, why questions are some of the worst to ask your subconscious mind, particularly if you're not used to seeing yourself as the architect. Just ask yourself questions like, why haven't I gotten a raise or a bigger raise lately? Why can't I find a man or a woman to spend the rest of my life with? Why does this always happen to me? Why would they call and tell me this on a Monday? Or why can't I get my finances under control? The answers to these questions that many people are asking themselves on a daily basis, by the way, are usually negative because your subconscious looks for a way to efficiently answer complex questions. And they're not only negative, but they protect the mind and body, keeping you from accomplishing what it is you want in life. The answers to these questions are generally these. Why haven't I gotten a bigger raise or a bigger raise lately? Because my boss wouldn't know talent if it bit him in the ass. Why can't I find a man or a woman to spend the rest of my life with? Because all men are pigs. Because most women are stuck on themselves. Why does this always happen to me? Because you were born under a bad sign. It's not your fault. Why would they call and tell me this on a Monday? Because last week was a good week, so you're destined to have a bad one. Why can't I get my finances under control? Because your parents screwed up your money programming, so again, not your fault. Step one in seeing yourself as the architect is realizing that the language you've been using to describe situations outside of your control keep the situations out of your control. You are consciously or subconsciously making a choice to not be the architect. The thoughts you think and the language you use is literally creating an out-of-control situation. So keep this in mind. The thoughts you think lead to the feelings you feel, which lead to the emotions you feel, which leads to your words, which then leads to your actions. So step two in seeing yourself as the architect is realizing that everything you do is a choice. You didn't get a bigger raise because you chose not to challenge the raise given, or you didn't perform at an excellent level. You don't have someone in your life because you're choosing to not let people in. You have bad things happen in your life because you are attracting them with your attitude. You were called on a Monday and you choose to give that call meaning or not. Your finances are a result of choices you've made, plain and simple. Choose to spend less and save more. And once you realize there is a cause and an effect for everything in your life, you'll begin to see yourself as the architect and start making decisions to build a bigger life. In a real life scenario, my wife and I wrestle with who's going to do the mowing on a regular basis. And generally speaking, I don't like to mow in the middle of the day. That's my time to work or to exercise or to meditate, to have meetings with clients and friends, and just in general to write stuff. I just don't like mowing during the day, but I do like to mow in the evenings. And it's always a time for me to reflect back, to listen to podcasts and to think about my day and what I want to accomplish that week. But I always wait until the end of the day. My wife, on the other hand, would prefer to go running in the morning and immediately mow right after because she's all sweaty already. And what I found was that my wife would begin holding me hostage on not mowing the lawn, but she would say, well, you know, I mowed it again, so now it's your turn. And I finally, in the whole grand scheme of choosing to be an architect of your own life, I brought it up to her that she was actually making a choice to do it. And that by her choosing to do it, she was eliminating my ability to choose to do it. In effect, she was becoming the architect of feeling the emotion of negativity towards me for not having done the mowing, even though she was the one who chose to do it in the first place. It was a fun discussion that we had. And ever since then, my wife has very simply chosen not to do the mowing, which leads me to do it. And I do it in the evenings. And we're actually now talking about hiring it all done or buying a riding mower or doing whatever we can do to make it a much more fun experience for everyone. Here's the deal. One of my favorite quotes is, your life is perfectly engineered to get the results you're getting. Your life is perfectly engineered to get the results you're getting. If you're not getting the results that you truly want, begin putting yourself in the architect role and design the life you want and then make decisions and choices based on that design. Don't live in someone else's dream home, live in yours. And to do that, you must get clear about what it is you want, get clear on your value set, start asking yourself bigger questions, trusting your inner knower, and following the prescribed Build a Bigger Life blueprint that's downloadable from the website at buildabiggerlife.com. Remember, your life is perfectly engineered to get the results you're getting. Let's re-engineer your life to get the life you want.
Thanks for listening to the Build a Bigger Life podcast with Adam Carroll. If you liked what you heard on the podcast today, help spread the message of a bigger life by leaving a review and subscribing on iTunes. Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam Carroll. Download a copy of the Build a Bigger Life blueprint at buildabiggerlife.com and check out Adam's TEDx talk on YouTube. Until next week, may you build a bigger life.